back to All Rights Reserved, your exclusive entertainment law and law school podcast with your hosts, Kayla and Suna. Today, we're going to be talking all about money, money, and some more money.
And more money. Most law students, including ourselves, have taken out significant loans from the government. And so we are here to help guide you and give advice on how to manage your finances throughout law school.
Yeah, important topic, I'd say. Considering how evil student loans are, I can say for myself at least that like I learned a lot more about how to manage student loans in law school than I did in undergrad, because in undergrad I just took out the loans. Yeah. I was like, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, law school's a little different, and so we're gonna go through student loans, how to budget, what we use the loans for, how to find scholarships, and just kind of give some general tips to make the process a little less scary. So let's start with student loans. You can use student loans for your tuition, obviously, but you can also take out extra loans for your expenses. But obviously, it will depend on what your circumstances are. So Kayla and I both have loans, but we use our loans for different things.
Yes, we do. So for me, I was very fortunate to move in with my family after I graduated from undergrad. So I luckily wasn't reliant on a job to pay rent and to pay living expenses. I also bought a car when I was 18 or 19. So all of those payments were fully taken care of. So I was really fortunate to be in that situation. Mm-hmm. So at the time I was applying to law school and whatnot, I applied through FAFSA. I ended up getting the Grad Plus loan, then I believe the unsubsidized or whatever they're called. Got that loan as well. And I only got like $5,000 extra from what I actually needed for just, you know, extra things. But luckily I didn't have to take out significant amount more just to pay for other things. So I was very lucky in that regard. And so I don't really have extra payments that I need to be paying for. Mm-hmm. And so that's really, really fortunate on my part. And luckily I'm in that situation, and I know a lot of people are not in that situation. So it's good to have, you know, you to talk to at least to give some insight on what you use that extra money for, because I'm not the best person to talk about that, I guess. Because we're all in different situations. So yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you did?
Yeah, honestly, I really, really envy you just because rent is so expensive in LA. And like,
yes,
it's just, yeah, it's just, it's hard. So I've basically been supporting myself for the past 5 years, including, so basically as soon as I moved out to LA, I think my parents helped me for a little bit with my expenses until I got a job. And then I was sort of on my own with everything. And they would like help here and there if I needed something, like my car broke down or whatever. So going into law school, obviously my parents don't live here. They're on the other side of the world. I had to kind of really get serious with my budget and figure out just how much I was going to need. So I use student loans for my rent. I use it for most of my fixed expenses, and I use it for tuition, obviously. But I did get a really good scholarship coming in that actually went up based on my grades. So it kind of balanced out. So I'm still going to have six figures. Like I've passed six figures already.
Aren't we all?
I know. But like it won't be as bad as if I was taking out just tuition plus the expense of living in LA, because the rent is the biggest problem. So it's really nice that you at least don't have to worry about that. So I kind of do loans for anything that's fixed because I just don't want to worry about it. Like, because before law school started, I was considering like, what can I actually afford? What can I pay for out of pocket? Because I had a part-time gig that I was kind of making some money from, but it wasn't going to be the same as like working full-time and making enough to like really support all of your expenses. So I do lease my car, and there's car insurance, health insurance, my phone bill. That's all with student loans, just because like, yes, it's better to pay yourself if you can, but sometimes like for me, just the like the ease of it in terms of not having to worry about those things getting paid for was worth it for me. Yeah, it's going to suck when I have to pay it back eventually, but at least like during school, I don't have to worry about it because money is one of the things that really stresses me out and causes anxiety for me. And like law school is stressful enough as it is. So yes. I just kind of had like, I sat with myself, I looked at my budget and I just decided, you know, I don't want to be a burden on my parents because they did offer to help with some of my expenses while I was in law school, but the economy wasn't going so well at that point in Turkey and it has since declined. So I'm really glad I made that decision. But yeah, so, you know, it depends on your situation, but like loans are scary, but you know, sometimes you just don't have a choice if this is what you want to do.
I absolutely think you're taking the right approach for that. I think if I were to be put in that situation as well, I would also have to budget it because you can't just spend, you have to know exactly what you're spending mm-hmm. on. And I think mm-hmm. that's so important. And I really have been fortunate that my parents have been able to help me with health insurance and car payments. Mm-hmm. But now that I just turned 26, I did get kicked off of health insurance. Ugh, so I do have to start figuring that out. Yeah, I know.
Honestly,
it's crazy. I'm so
the
young.
The healthcare
so
system here. It just blows my mind how terrible it is. Like, yeah. Here, take all of,
listen,
give all your money to have health insurance, not be able to see a doctor for 3 months because they're already booked, and then also charge for all these prescription medications that really shouldn't be costing you anything. But
well, listen, it's been a struggle because I have fantastic insurance and now I'm just struggling to find out the next step. So yeah. That has been really stressful and I'm really thankful that I do have my parents to help guide me through that. Right. I'm in some like bridge program right now until I figure out the next health insurance that I get into. So I'm really, you know, fortunate that I have them to help with that yeah. because I do not know that much about budgeting and loans, but I really have learned as the years have gone by. Mm-hmm. Just like you, I had no idea what I was doing in undergrad. We just took mm-hmm. out the loans. But now that I am an adult and I'm taking my own responsibility with student loans for law school, mm-hmm. I've gotten to really like learn how it all works and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think now that I'm an adult and I'm moving out of the house and stuff like that, I do have to figure it out. So right. I would love to, you know, get as much advice from you as I can because, you know, not all of us are experts in this, but.
Well, I'm not an expert either. It's just like, You just watch YouTube videos and read yes. and Google things and sort of just find your way. One thing that was actually really helpful for me though was like during our orientation, I don't know if you took the same thing away from this as I did, but the financial aid presentation was so helpful because yeah. they were like, do this, do that. You can do this. You can also, you have these options or whatever. And it right. made like thinking about six figures in loans, like potentially way less stress inducing than it normally is. I think our financial right. aid department is fantastic with that. Like anytime I have questions,
they're very
I
helpful.
Just ask. But they mm-hmm. were sort of like, they kind of emphasized that you should only take out as what you actually need. And they also told us that you can always give back the money if you took out too much too, which I had no idea was a thing. I sort of just assumed that it hits your account and it's just there.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, but I mean, that kind of segues us into our next topic, which is how much you should take out because right. you definitely need to be more cognizant of how much you're taking out just because the interest rates are so much higher for grad school loans. Mm-hmm. And they're also unsubsidized, which means that your loans start to accrue interest as soon as they disperse to your account. With undergrad, they are subsidized. So you yes. don't start paying interest on that stuff until you graduate, which sucks. And also you don't pay interest while they're deferred. Cause like, I don't think my undergrad loans are accruing interest while I'm in law school.
Mine are either. You're right. So I definitely think that you shouldn't take out as much as you, more than you really need. I think like an extra few thousand can really be helpful for you. But like Suna was saying, I really think that you should give back what you don't use mm-hmm. so that interest doesn't continue accruing.
No, absolutely. And I think like one thing, like literally the one thing that I've agreed with the federal administration of how they've handled the pandemic is the student loan deferrals.
Yeah.
Just because
great.
Like it makes a massive difference when you are accumulating thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of debt that mm-hmm. is earning interest that's as high as like 8%. So that's been right. really nice because right. like I moved this summer. I used student loans to pay for my deposit and my rent in my new apartment. My rent is actually cheaper than what it was, which is good. But it was nice because I took out extra money earlier than I intended to. But now mm-hmm. it's not gaining interest until like, I think next January. Amazing. I recently was checking because they extended it. So
yes.
Yeah, definitely you should consider the interest rates because they add up very, very fast. Yeah. And then when it comes to paying it off, obviously we haven't graduated yet. We're not even close to even paying off any student loans whatsoever, no. but it does depend on a lot of factors. So it depends on what your expenses are, what kind of job you're going to have after you graduate, what sector you're going into, because like if you're mm-hmm. going into public interest, you have loan forgiveness programs, which yes. I'm really, really jealous of because we're not going into public interest.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, but obviously we will share our journey along the way, but my sort of mentality is I just want to get rid of it as fast as I can. As much as I can, just because I hate debt and the idea of having student loans like over my head for years and years and years is just not appealing. But the reality is it's going to take a while. So that's going to be a journey too, but
just yeah.
Sometimes.
Hopefully I can get into a situation where I can just put a significant amount of yeah. money towards my student loans every month mm-hmm. because I'd rather live lavishly in 5 years than, 10 years because I'm paying, it just doesn't make
yeah.
sense financially. So yeah, I think absolutely. It's important based on where we're working or mm-hmm. what our salaries are. But yeah, I definitely want to pay as much as I can because I do not want to have that lingering in the back yeah. of my mind because it's not fun. But right. in terms moving on from debt, obviously we have
the
scholarships.
Scary part.
And, yes, the debt. But we do have scholarships and grants. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what type of scholarships you've gotten or basically the money that you've been able to get towards school that isn't loans.
Right. Yeah. That's another thing. So you can significantly reduce the amount of loans that you need to take out by getting scholarships. They can either be merit scholarships, which are offered by your school. Mm-hmm. They can be outside scholarships that you apply to. And then there are grants that you can apply to. So with the merit scholarships, I had one when I was offered admission. So they gave mm-hmm. me a scholarship and they said you have to maintain like a 3.0 in order to keep it for all 3 years, which was really, really nice and influenced my decision to attend Southwestern. And then our school has a system where like the better you do, the more money they give you basically. So that right. kind of starts at the top 30% of the class. And like the higher your rank is, the more money you get, which is definitely an incentive to do well. Mm-hmm. And that definitely kept me motivated knowing that. In addition though, like there are many other kinds of institution, like, well, scholarships offered by a school, which, I mean, it depends on what school you're at, but like I was a recipient of an entertainment law scholarship, which wasn't by application either. It was by professors nominating me. So I always say this is another reason why you should have good relationships with your professors and start networking within your school as soon as you get there, because you just never know what kind of opportunities there might be. But in addition to that, obviously there are outside scholarships that you can apply to. Our financial aid office sends out lists as they become available. And then every yes. year we also have donors to the school who provide scholarships that we can apply to. But obviously like there are so many scholarships out there. You just have to find them. And like, I'm not the best at that. And I kind of regret like Same. Not making an effort to find things and apply to them. But mm-hmm. you know, you live, you learn.
I think that's great. And I think it's wonderful that the school was able to offer you a continuing scholarship because mm-hmm. I was actually on the opposite side of that. I was given one scholarship up front. So mm-hmm. I wasn't given a yearly scholarship. So it was kind of unfortunate in that sense, but it was really nice having to take out significantly less in my first year. But I have been fortunate to get some outside scholarships. I did apply through the school for the institutional scholarship. So that was really nice. And then as they come along, I try to apply to ones that have to do with religion or ethnicity or stuff like that, because I think you can really just find ones that tailor mm-hmm. exactly to who you are as a person. Right. And since we're all so diverse, people want diversity and people love to support people of their own kind, really. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to just do a quick Google search, be like, okay, do we have any, you know, American scholarships available or something like
right,
that. So
right, yeah,
I think it's important to just be proactive in that sense, because a lot of people just turn a blind eye and they mm-hmm. just rely on loans and they rely on their merit scholarships mm-hmm. instead of actually going for it. So
yeah,
it's really important.
I definitely should have sought out more scholarships externally.
But it's not easy.
It really isn't. And then also like I'll look up the scholarships and I'll be like, yeah, I kind of apply to these, but I don't think they would give them to me. And so I don't know, like, right. I just look at like what they list and I'm like, this is either too specific or too general. So kind of like,
same.
Yeah. But honestly though, I think a good rule of thumb is like, if you never try, you never know. So I wish I had tried, but you know what? You have you learned.
Listen, I applied to probably hundreds of them.
Yeah.
They don't even respond. They don't even let you know if you didn't get it. It just, yeah. But you know what? I would have been mad at myself if I hadn't done that.
Right.
So I am really glad that I was able to at least, you know, put my foot out there, because it did work for undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
Not really law school, but it did work for undergrad.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also like, I think that part of the battle is even just finding the opportunities and learning about them. Like there are also a lot of different kinds of grants that are available. Like our school has one for students who want to do public interest. And if you get, mm-hmm. if you get the grant, it sort of covers your expenses for the summer. Like, cause most of the time, like public interest positions aren't paid, right. as internships. But then also our school had a CARES grant, which I guess they got some funding, an education funding or whatever, due to coronavirus. So like if as a student, you are in need of some extra cash, you were able to apply and get some money. And like we both applied and we got some extra money, which I used definitely towards like books and school related stuff. And
yes.
I think most of it is actually going to go towards paying for the moral character and fitness exam or like background check, whatever that is, which just started. But so
I need to get on that.
Yeah, it's just, you kind of have to get creative and like seek out stuff and then just kind of learn to be better with money,
right.
which I think budgeting should play a good role in.
Right.
Yeah. So are you a big budgeter?
Honestly, I wish I could say that I am, but I've been working nonstop since 1L summer. So I've been really fortunate that most of my jobs, except for one semester, has been unpaid. Well, no, what am I saying? Most of the semesters have been paid and one of them was unpaid. So I was lucky to get a little bit of money every other week. So I would always make it a point to put 50%, at least 50% of every paycheck that I was making into my savings account. And I was able to accumulate all this money that I had lost during my first year of 1L, because obviously I wasn't allowed to work then. So I was able to just pile it up. And just stick it in my savings. I don't even touch my savings, because I think that I need to just have it there as my backup, and I know that I won't spend it. So doing that has been really good for me, and I've seen it grow, and it's been really, it honestly just makes me feel better, and I'm not just spending on random things. So I think that's really important. But in terms of like budgeting, really, I luckily, again, don't really have that many expenses, but I do put a few hundred towards different things per month. So I do make sure to at least save part of my paycheck in order to go like directly towards my credit card bill or whatnot. But I've definitely been lucky in that regard. But why don't you tell me about how you budget, or if you even use any like apps or websites that may help you with that?
Yeah, I could get better with budgeting as well. The main budget that I actually make is I usually, like during the summer, right after the scholarship amounts and stuff are announced, I will go through all of my expenses. I'll do a spreadsheet. I'll add up what all of my fixed stuff is. So like rent, phone bill, health insurance, whatever, because I take out loans to pay for that, right? So mm-hmm. I do that, but then, and oftentimes, like my, for example, my car insurance payment has been going down each year just because I'm getting older, but also I like literally don't drive anymore because
right.
like the miles on my car are actually pretty decent since like getting into law school. But, mm-hmm. So it's like, I'll update the cost or whatever. Cause like you renew your health insurance and stuff every year as well. So then I'll figure out how much money I'm going to need for the 12. I try to budget it out for 12 months. So the first disbursement hits your account in August and you're supposed to be covered until the next August. That's kind of how I look at it. So that's how I did it. And then, mm-hmm. For my spending money though, I do the same thing where I've had paid internships since, my internship 1L summer wasn't paid, but I had a side job that did pay. So I kind of use that, but then like, UMPG paid me, my current clerkship pays me.
Right.
In addition, I'm a research assistant and a teaching assistant at school. So that also pays me. So basically the way that I go about it is that I only use loans for the fixed stuff and any spending money, money for food or whatever I make by working. And occasionally it's easier to save. Sometimes it isn't. It just depends on how much I'm making, which is kind of the annoying part because it's been a little unpredictable in that sense. But mm-hmm. you know, I actually did save a good amount this summer because I started making more. And I just tried to put away whatever extra money I have. And then the pandemic kind of makes it easy to like not yeah. spend money in some ways. Like the first Gas. Few months I was online shopping more than I should. But now, like, I really only spend money on food, and I make all my own yeah. food. I don't really order out that much. So it's been easier to save even by not making a ton. And then, like, the way that I kind of approach it, I probably should do a proper budget that I stick to, like the spreadsheets and whatnot. But I think the reason I have trouble with that is because I don't know how much money I'm going to be making. So it's hard yeah. to like project how much I'm allowed to spend on something. Cause like, I don't know, but I should probably revisit that at some point, but there, you know, going through the expenses. Yeah. But like, for example, though, there are some things for me that are worth spending extra money on than, you know, some things that aren't. Like, for example, I pay for the Tone It Up app every month, which is like $13. But like, I need to exercise almost daily because of my joint issues.
That's an essential program.
Yeah. And it's like your mental health, like prioritizing your health, yeah. I think is always worth it. And then definitely. I used to also have an AMC A-list subscription. an AMC A-list subscription,
love
which
it.
Those of you who don't know, it's AMC Theater's subscription service where you pay like $25 a month, but you can see 3 movies a week and it's all included. And you can also like build up points to get like free popcorn and stuff, which I love. But obviously due to coronavirus, I haven't been using that. But at the, like when everything was normal, I would go to the theater very, very often. Like my boyfriend yeah. and I would go see movies like at least once a week sometimes. So like that's worth it to me because it's an escape from school. And like, also I'm in entertainment. So movies kind of like the gig.
I love going to the movies. I love it. There's this Tuesday AMC thing where it's like $5
oh,
for
yeah,
the movie. And
yeah.
so I used to do that. And now I really miss the movie theater. So
I know.
Definitely
I know.
Haven't been in like a year. So
you know, you guys should go to a drive-in movie theater. We went to one yes. on my birthday and actually it was really, really fun.
I would love to.
It felt so exotic because I've like never been to a drive-in movie, but it was cool. It was nice to like get out and go somewhere to see a movie, like
definitely
just, you know, something normal that we used to take for granted. But then conversely, like things that aren't worth it to me are stuff like, I don't know, like I've never really been one to pay for manicures. I usually do my own nails because my polish always chips within like a day. So I'm like, why am I paying like $30 to get this done?
Right.
When
right.
I could just do it at home and it's going to chip the same anyway. Like I'll pay yes. for a gel manicure here and there, like as a uh-huh. treat to myself. But like, I'm not a person that does like regular care upkeep. I don't even know. But then like, also there's other stuff like paying for extra subscriptions.
Right.
And stuff like that. Like I know that like right now what I have is my Spotify is bundled with my Hulu. So I get Hulu with ads, but like paying,
smart.
Even though ads are annoying, paying an extra $12 a month for the ad-free version for some reason just feels
not
like
worth
it's
it.
Not worth it to me. So, you know, you win on some areas and you lose money in some areas. But what's important is like, you know, is it worth it to you? But just be careful.
Suna, I have saved so much money during this pandemic. I was paying like over $180 a month for a gym membership. And
wait,
I'm like,
really?
What is wrong with me? Yeah, I was paying for Equinox, which is like the nicest gym ever. But like, it just, why was I doing that? And then it really put it into perspective. Like, I don't need these things. So I'm saving money on that. I'm not paying for gas at all. Often at all. I'm pretty much only spending on food.
That's
and maybe
a big
some
one in
clothes.
LA too. Gas.
Yeah, exactly. So I've really been able to save so much money this summer. And so I want to pay towards my loans and I want to pay towards school as much as I can in order to, you know, avoid having to accrue more debt. So I totally agree with you on that. I try to use my parents' Netflix account or, you know, using different people's accounts for things. But I think
or
for
just
now,
saving where you can, you know,
and you're a student, so they are happy to help you. And so I think that's really just good advice to take.
Yeah. It's
you don't
like
really need to be spending.
Right. And also at the same time, like, in general, there are so many services that have student discounts as well. Like Amazon Prime has one.
Right.
Spotify has a student bundle. It was like $5 a month or something like that. Yes. It's just like they do exist. So you kind of have to like look around. But in general, like you should have a budget that works for you. And I don't know, as someone who finds money related things really stressful, or like I hate being in survival mode, but I've been in survival mode for most of my adult life in some ways.
Yeah.
I just try to make it happen where I'm not spending a ton, but I'm also not restricting myself so much where I'm just stressed about spending money. If that makes sense. Like some things are worth paying for and some things aren't and whatever and whatnot, but
well, I think it's important to just be honest with yourself. Do not avoid your finances. Just, I know it's uncomfortable sometimes checking your balance on your account, but you need to just make sure that you're on top of it. Mm-hmm. And if you're going low, you need to re-budget and you need to figure out why it's low or figure out ways that you can divert from that.
Yeah.
And so it's for me at least, I think it's really important to just continuously look at my bank statements, figure out what am I overspending on? What am I underspending on? What could I spend on? So I think that that is also something that you should do instead of just like ignoring your finances.
Oh, absolutely. I think that one thing that happened to me after college and I was working and I was like making money for the first time, I was so reckless and stupid.
Same.
Like I racked up like $5,000 in credit card debt because I was under the impression I was going to be getting a raise. So I was just like, oh, I'll just pay it off then. Don't do it. Not a good idea. So that took a long time to pay down. And like my parents actually helped me out with that a little bit, which I'm eternally grateful for because it was a huge source of stress in my life.
Yeah.
It's just like, don't spend beyond your means. That's the thing. Don't do it in general, but also don't do it in law school because you're a student. You're not making a full income. You know, as a full-time law student, the ABA only allows you to work 20 hours a week. You can't work more than that. Like, you have to come to terms with the fact that you're not going to be rolling in cash. I mean, unless like your parents are funding your life, like a lot of, like not a lot, but I mean, I know of some people who, you know, are really well off and they don't have to worry about stuff like that, which is really nice, honestly. But you kind of just have to figure out what your situation is and don't use credit cards or student loans to fund a lifestyle that you can't afford. You know, I have gotten good about the credit card stuff after being traumatized by all that debt, like pre-law school. But you know, sometimes emergencies happen too, which inevitably they will at some point, whether you get sick, you have to go to urgent care or like your car breaks down, you need to have your car fixed. That's why saving money is a really good idea. But like, if you're going to use a credit card, keep it for emergencies only, or if you're going to use it use it to pay your expenses and pay it off in full each month. Cause then you can get coins and stuff.
Or even use cash. If you have like a certain amount of cash per month, then at least you can budget it that way. With a credit card, you just swipe. Yep. And sometimes you aren't held accountable by how much you're spending. So try to pay as much out of pocket as you can for everything, including school. Don't even worry if you have to take out loans, because the majority of us do.
Yeah.
But definitely try to use cash. Try not to use your credit card that much. Mm-hmm. Try to just budget your money in the way that you can pay for as much as you can up front. Mm-hmm. So you're not having that stress when you're trying to figure out your life.
Yeah, totally.
And spending on things.
Yeah. And like, obviously also like keep your expenses low.
Yeah.
Learn to cook. Like meal prepping saves a lot of money. Or meal planning, or at least like having some staples in your kitchen that you can just throw together really quickly. Beans, rice, and veggies. Super easy. Throw some avocado on there. You're good to go. But that's the thing. It's like, I didn't realize how much I used to eat out before law school. Cause like I didn't go out as much, also just cause I was really busy. But then I realized like how fast like eating out at restaurants or getting takeout can add up. But like when you're making
so much.
Yeah, but like when you're making a regular salary, you don't really realize it as much.
Right.
So that was like one thing that I am pretty good at even now, just because in my mind I'm like frugal with food. I'm like, if I can make this at home for $5, why am I paying $15 for this like at a restaurant that it's probably not even gonna be the way that I want it to be?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, trust me, it adds up. I mean, it's $15 to $20, especially in LA. So it really, really adds up. And I've saved a lot of money just by meal prepping or just eating less. I mean, it's
eating less.
but I've definitely been able to accumulate different types of ways to get money, such as like note taking, for example, but also even like on LexisNexis, if you do LexisNexis for law schools, you get points. You get 10 points every single day that you research. And when those points add up, you get gift cards. And so I've actually used these gift cards towards Amazon purchases before.
Same.
And it's been great.
Yeah. Well, also I love it because they have like the little like learning activities where you can get like 100 points or something.
It's like 40 points.
I like literally have a daily reminder that tells me to log into Lexis and just search something
because I want
the free things. And that's the thing. As a law student, you get offered a lot of free things. Take them. Because like, you're going to have these loans. You're there. You're paying a lot of money to be there. Take advantage of what you can. And, but the Lexis stuff is really great. Like I exclusively use them for Starbucks cards because, our school had a Starbucks next to it. And then like anytime I went to work, there was always a Starbucks nearby.
So smart.
It was honestly really, really great. And then the last tip that we have, and this also is going to anyone else that are listening who might have made this mistake already. Don't buy brand new textbooks. Don't
no.
do it. Do not do it. Just because you're never going to use that book again unless you just want it to look cool on your bookshelf.
Plus, like, Amazon has all of them for like half the price for to rent.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So it's like go for the cheapest option possible. Either get it used or rent it, whichever is cheaper. Don't get it from your school's bookstore unless you're doing a price comparison with different places. Just because 90% of the time, you're only going to use the book for your classes and then you're never going to need it again because it's just a compilation of cases. These aren't like textbooks that, you know, lay out everything A through Z. It's just cases. You're not going to need it. So that's one thing that I wish I had done a little bit more intelligently during 1L. During 2L, I definitely got better at it because like during 1L, I did end up having to buy two of my books brand new because the professor requested it to be the newest edition. I think like renting was, I can't remember. I think renting was or wasn't available or they were sold out. I don't know. Another tip
happens.
Yeah. Also ordering your books really early also can help you save money just because it's like the whole supply and demand thing. But I've used Amazon. I've used, there was another like textbook rental website I found that was like exclusively law books. I can't remember the name. But then also I've seen listings on Chegg. I've never actually rented from them, but I did sell a book through them for like $9.
Amazing.
That's the other thing.
I should do that.
When you buy a textbook though, and you can't sell it for any value. Like they'll give you maybe like $30, $40 depending on what the book is. And sometimes they don't even like, they won't even let you sell it. It's yeah. Don't buy books, just rent them.
Yes, exactly. And I really hope you guys took these advice and these, you know, everything that we said to heart, because we really want all of you to succeed and be financially stable in your college careers and your law school careers. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us via our Instagram or email, because we would love to continue to help if we missed anything.
Definitely. And loans are scary, but it's just a given. And the more comfortable you get with checking your loan account, checking your bank accounts, the more time you spend with your money in that way, the less intimidating it will feel. And like Kayla said, we're always here to help. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.